Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Arvind Smart Spaces Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today on the call Mr. Kamal Singhal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Ankit Jain, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Avinash Suresh, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Prakash Makwana, CS, and Mr. Vikram Rajput, Head Investor Relations. Please note that a copy of disclosure is available on the investor section of the website of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, as well as on stock exchanges. Please do note that anything said on this call which reflects the outlook towards the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. With that, I would like to hand the floor over to Mr. Kamal Singhal for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. A very warm welcome to everyone present on this call. Thank you for joining us today to discuss the operating and financial performance of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited for the quarter ending June 2022. We believe you must have got a chance to go through our revamped earnings update uploaded on our website and stock exchange. I would like to begin by sharing my thoughts on real estate environment and broad highlights of the quarter, and then we'll have an opportunity to take questions from all of you and suggestions as well. While we remain watchful of the global risk, including the economic slowdown which is happening in the United States, Europe, et cetera, and also the geopolitical issues arising from the Russian-Ukrainian standoff, the impact of global economic headwinds on the Indian economy is yet to play out. Though inflationary trends have led to increased repo rate and higher prices, housing demand remains very strong across cities and product segments, which basically highlights the sustainability of the upcycle that we are seeing in the Indian housing sector to continue. This upcycle is here to stay, in my opinion. Unlike many other Western countries, the demand for housing in India is from very genuine home buyers, and it is not speculative in nature. The demand for housing continues to be both from the first-time home buyers as well as from the buyers who are basically moving up the ladder and generally trying to upgrade their houses. The tailwinds for the real estate and especially organized branded developers are several, including very steady rise in income levels, wealth effect, joint family nuclearization, increasing share of household savings being directed into home purchases, and the downfall of tier two developers ecosystem with the GST and demonetization, et cetera, which was a major macroeconomic push that government gave. With the government's focus on reforms to tighten the monetary policy and the economy, we can look forward to an even stronger real estate sector in future for sure. We believe that it is a great opportunity for a brand like Arvind, with a legacy of more than 120 years of trust, dependability, and impeccable corporate governance framework. The formalization and consolidation of real estate industry, coupled with a very strong balance sheet that we have, with significant headroom to raise funds, which is very important to know that we've got very, very significant headroom to raise funds, and an extremely strong execution record. All these factors put together put Arvind into a unique position to deliver great value in times to come. We continue to evolve as an exemplary customer-centric, technology-driven solution provider with design and innovation at its center. Coming to our performance for financial year 23, FY23 has started on a very, very healthy note for ASL, which is basically continuing on the momentum achieved in the last financial year into Q1 of financial year 23. This was our best ever Q1 from booking perspective. Booking for the quarter grew 8% year on year to 118 crores, and 18 crores, Q1 23. Collection improved by 12% year-on-year at 133 crores, reflecting our continued focus on execution. We have taken measures like increase in price across projects which were absorbed well by the markets. This highlights our improved salability of our projects and the rising brand equity of Arvind in real estate space as well. We are happy to announce that we have added a new project in our portfolio. This is our 14th project in Gujarat, a 44-acre plotting development in Bavlu village in the outskirts of Gandhinagar with a approximate 2 million square feet of saleable area with a top line of 150 crores. This will be an outright purchase of land deal and it should be closed somewhere by the end of next quarter. While we are on the subject of business development, I would like to apprise everyone that we have exited the Gurgaon project in Pune during the diligence process due to technical feasibility challenges. As a group and a company, we place high importance to transparency. Hence, we had discussed this project earlier and we had told about this project to everybody. However, due to technical reasons and approval issues, so we have decided to exit this project. To mitigate this, we have already taken some effective steps to fulfill the project pipeline gaps created by this exit. Nevertheless, our focus on Pune market as a market remains very, very strong, and we continue to evaluate more alternatives and deals. The company is rigorously working on extending the project pipeline across Bangalore, Ahmedabad, and Pune, of course, including MMR in the future months. Moving from operational update to the financial highlights, in Q1 we reported revenues of 60 crores, up 124% on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the quarter grew by 31% to 11 crores. PAT for the quarter grew 190% to 7.2 crores. Our balance sheet position remains strong. As on June 30th, 2022, our net debt remains negative at 92 crores. I'm very excited to share a very significant development which has taken place today. The company board has approved a creation of 900 crore rupees worth residential development platform with HDFC Capital Advisors. The proposed investment is such that ASL and HDFC will pump in or invest 300 crores and 600 crores respectively in this platform. This platform builds upon the success of the previous platform with HDFC Capital set up in 2019, just before COVID. And this triples our capital investment abilities in short term to medium term and in turn creates significant value for the shareholders. The fund will be utilized to acquire new projects for residential development in the cities of Ahmedabad, Bangalore, Pune and MMR. ASL will set up a separate SPV to house the projects under this platform. That's the proposal. The platform will create an overall revenue potential of anything between 4,000 to 5,000 crores, excluding reinvestment potential. We are already in advanced stages of finalization of two projects, which are expected to be housed within this platform, and we further expect 4 to 5 such projects under this platform over the next 12 odd months. The platform is designed to generate a significant upside to ASL's linked to project performance. And while efficiency, I mean, of course, this will add to our project pipeline in a very significant way. And at the same time, we should be able to manage the risk profile of the balance sheet in a very efficient and effective way. To sum up, with the sustained traction in volumes from a range of projects across locations in Ahmedabad, Bangalore, and Pune, we are very well poised to deliver significant growth this year. This will be supported by both the sustained sales traction in current projects as well as new launches that are planned over the next few quarters in Ahmedabad, Gandhinagar and Bangalore. The real estate macro environment remains intact, optimistic and rather buoyant. The company is focused on capitalizing on this opportunity and boost the growth momentum in the ongoing year on our business development, launches, booking, collections, etc., while maintaining a very, very strict financial discipline. With a strong brand, solid balance sheet, significant headroom to raise funds and a strong execution track record, the company is well placed to create sustained value for its stakeholders. Thank you very much. and now we can move on to question and answer session and we can take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Kirti Jain from Canara HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot for the opportunity. So my question is with regard to our two Bangalore projects, Devanahalli and Sarjapur. What is the progress and how close are we to launch these in the current quarter?
These two projects are progressing very, very fast. As you know, land acquisition has already happened. Devanahalli, for example, is a project where land acquisition is done for phase one, etc. And it will be, of course, launched in a couple of phases as the approvals come. So we are making bundles of land, getting the approvals for the minimum lot and launching it, and then subsequently we'll keep adding more land, which is already purchased. But the approvals are happening in sequence, and that's how it will be launched. So as we speak, we are very close to launching the project in Devanahalli. Approvals are about to be complete. Maybe we've covered up 95% of the process. Land, CLU, etc. is already done. Plan approval is almost about to be completed. The last step which is left subsequent to that is RERA approval, which normally takes a month's time or so. So we are hopeful that touch and go within this quarter or maybe very, very early next quarter, we should be able to launch Devanahalli. And situation in Sarjapur is also similar, a little behind Devanahalli, but per se the agreements and JDs, etc. are all done. Most of the land is already converted into CLU post our agreements, etc. So that's the major part when it comes to overall timelines of a project launch. Now the final touches are being given to the plans, the architectural aspects of it. And subsequent to that, maybe this project should be getting launched after Devanahalli, maybe a month and a half behind Devanahalli.
The line for the current participant has dropped off. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Ritwik Seth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening and thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, a few questions from my end. Firstly, on this fund with HDFC, so our economic interest will be 33%. Is that understanding right?
This is obviously our third engagement or partnership with HDFC CAPS.
Right.
The first was under the HCARE 1 fund. Through that fund, we invested in this Devanahalli project. This is essentially that platform project that we just talked about. The second engagement, because by the time we could invest more, COVID stuck and the funding actually kind of took a halt, but still the fund invested at the entity level in that case, and we got 50 odd crores invested by the fund at the entity level itself. They picked up equity into the company. And this is now the third arrangement that we are talking about, which is of a very, very significant size, a larger size than the previous one. So the partnership goes from X to Y, which is significantly higher. Because the terms are yet to be signed and this should happen in next few days, we shall be in a position to share more details about that once that process is completed. Today, the board has approved the broad contours of this potential partnership, and that's what we have been excited about sharing with all of you. But we'll definitely come back to you once the process completes, which is a few days away from now.
Sure. So the thought process is, put in equity of about 900.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. So can you speak a bit louder? We're not able to hear you.
Sure. Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah, better. Sure.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. So the thought process would be that both entities will put in 900 crores and then leverage that to some extent and acquire projects which are standalone balance sheet, you know, on the size which we could not do. So this will help us to increase the size of the projects as well, right?
Absolutely. So as you would have read through the communication that we have made, this is going to be a 900 crore rupee platform.
Right.
We are creating an SPV for this specific purpose.
Mm-hmm.
All the projects which we take where we co-invest will be housed under that new SPV.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this gives us not only the dry power required to take more projects, but as you very rightly said, this also gives us more strength to take up bigger, more value-creating projects at a location, which until today we have been restricting ourselves to a certain extent, but definitely even that aspect gets de-bottlenecked and we have more opportunities to find more valuable lands in that context.
Right, and so since Arvind Smart Space would, you know, would be the developing the company for that, we would be getting some kind of fees and, you know, some project management services fees as well, right? Would that
naturally,
be fair?
Naturally. For a developer, there has to be more than what a developer invests in any arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect has to have has to be there. And that's what we look forward to, you know, when we get into such arrangement. And that obviously is going to be something which is important to us. And that's what is going to be happening
for
IGA.
Right. And when do we expect to infuse this 300 crores from our end? Is there any timeline or...
So this is simultaneous. Infusions will happen simultaneously. For example, suppose we acquire a project which is worth 100 crores.
Hmm.
Then obviously one third of that, 33 crores from us and 67 from them, will come simultaneously at the time of acquiring that project. So it basically is simultaneous to when the acquisition happens and both partners in their own ratio, 2:1, will invest.
Sure. This
and
is
we have, of course, some of this 300 crore is something that is already there in the sense of availability, etc.
Right. This is encouraging, sir. This platform is getting leveraged after 2-3 engagements with them. Right.
Yeah.
So my next question is on, you know, the Pune project. What was the, hurdle that we could not clear or the landowners could not clear that, you know, we stepped aside? And did we lose any money on this, any deposits or any advances that?
No, absolutely not. We don't get into any arrangement where we have a potential to lose money, for sure. We'll do my documentation, right? We did pay some little amount of maybe couple of crores, 3-4 crore rupees there. And we've got the money back. That is
okay, we have got the money back. Okay.
But, you know, the reasons were regulatory. The reasons were related to some of the approvals of height, etc.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing was not making that sense that we assumed at the time of acquiring the project.
Mm-hmm.
And it reasons it came out that there could be restrictions which will make the land less attractive. And hence we decided to exit that project.
Sure. Okay. And so my next question is on our existing projects. So what is the construction cost that is yet to be spent on the existing projects?
I'll ask and request Ankit to share that.
So, if you could refer to the slide 19 of the information update, it has all the operating cash flows which talks. Not at a project level, but at the category of the project in terms of completed, ongoing, and yet to be launched. It gives the balance cost to be incurred for the company as a whole, and thereby arriving at the estimated operating cash flow, which is at the EBITDA level for the company as a whole.
Okay. Sorry, which slide is this?
Slide number 19.
Okay. Oh, yeah. There is a balance cost to be incurred. Sure. Okay. And so my last question is, can we expect entry into MMR market in FY23?
So MMR, which we read along with Pune, is definitely one of our new focus area.
Hmm.
We have been doing a lot of scanning of the options available there, and that's how we came across Pune also. This is the second project. One is already underway, as you all know.
Hmm.
But the second couldn't happen because of these technical reasons. But we clearly have a focus. And the idea is to start MMR for sure under this platform itself. So definitely within this year, we intend to have something going on either in Pune in addition to what we're doing, or in MMR, which we read together as such.
Okay, okay. Sure, sir. All the best and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirti Jain from Canara HSBC. Please go ahead.
Sorry. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. So my question was with regard to the capital allocation. So currently we have 90 odd crores in our balance sheet. Then we will be generating surplus as we complete our projects and recognize the profits and cash flows from that. So cash balance will further get accreted. And then we have an unlevered balance sheet. So all these three put together, we will have 600, 700 crores of resources. Then there is a HDFC platform also. So how will be the priority where the capital will be taken and how it will be put, sir?
So you read it right, you know, including the leveraging capability and the headroom which exists, numbers are broadly what you said. And HDFC platform means that from the funds and the headroom that we have, around 300 crores need to go under platform itself. So maybe something like a 50-60% of the internal resources that we have or we could mobilize goes towards the platform arrangement. So the platform becomes 900 in total, and then we still have dry powder to have some sort of another arrangement with a similar fund, or we do it on our own, etc., etc. But you know, the first priority will be to deploy these first 900 crores under the platform. And the clear focus is that in next few months we do that efficiently. And that obviously will happen between these three markets that we are doing. We are not going more horizontally. We are not looking at newer geographies apart from the existing Bangalore, Ahmedabad, Gandhinagar, and now renewed focus on Pune and MMR market. So these three major geographies will remain our focus. Residence, of course, is broadly what we want to do. Mid-priced is something that we are very strong at. We've done quite a few projects, so that remains our priority. Of course, it will be sprinkled with opportunistic luxury ones, and that's what we'll continue to do. 900 first under the platform, and the rest of the dry powder is still there to do few things on our own, or rather have more arrangements like the HDFC one to multiply the investment cycle.
Sure, sir. Sir, 900 will be through outright buyouts, or there will be JV JDs also, sir?
So it's a very good question. Whatever numbers in the communication that we mentioned, it assumes that everything is buyout, outright basis. But of course, we are free to do JDs, we are free to do JVs. In fact, we have had a strong track record of doing some very successful large JD developments and completing those projects. This includes our largest projects like Uplands, High Grove, Chirping Woods, Forestry, etc. So we intend to definitely continue doing that. And if we do that, and to the extent that we do that, the top line, etc. will obviously multiply, and that will also mean that return on equity, etc. will be even higher, because JDs are arrangement like that. The skin is smaller, but the returns in commensurate ways is little higher. So we'll do. It will be a combination. We are not trying to predict to what extent will be a mix of JDs, etc. But on a conservative side, if you were to just invest everything on an outright basis, this entire 900 crores, this gives us a potential of having a top line of around 4 to 5,000 crores. But having said, definitely this is something which is going to be coming in the form of JDs as well.
Sure, sir. Sir, then this Bavalu project is passively launched, right, sir? Informally launched, right, sir, as of now?
Yeah, Bavalu project is kind of informally pre-launch, not launch, so we have not taken formal bookings, etc. But we have got expression of interest from the potential customers and got some sort of a commitment as well from them. And it has been phenomenal. I mean, the response has been you would know that, so that's right.
Yeah, it's called Arvind Fruits, right, sir?
Fruits of Life.
Oh, yeah. That's what I heard from the officer. Sir, just one last question, sir, with permission. Sir, one thing is like our BD addition, there have been challenges. Like, what gives you confidence that going forward the BD addition can be strong, sir? Like, from last October to August, there has been no BD addition which we have been able to demonstrate in a net-net way, apart from this Bavalu which has come now. So, what business. So what gives confidence that going ahead BD will pick up in a very significant way, sir?
You are right. Baolu is one project that we've just added recently. And we have also expanded size of some of the projects. Those details we'll share with you. Apart from that, there are two projects which should be concluded any time from now, maybe next 2 to 4 weeks time, 6 weeks time. That's the expectation. As we speak, the entire focus of the company is towards PD. We've just concluded this platform arrangement. And as one of your previous speakers said, it also kind of gives us an opportunity to us to look for the sizes which are bigger than what we have been doing till date. That means that it unlocks more options for us in the marketplace. Some of the very, very successful launches that we've seen in the last 1.5 years, including Foreste, Hygro, etc., more and more landlords are showing very, very keen interest. Having said that, having fund is one thing. The other is that we need to have a very, very micro scope, which scans to the extent we could, de-risk ourselves. So we always are a little conservative. But at the same time, we are very, very aggressive in the marketplace. The entire team is fanned out in these three geographies. The pipeline is strong. And there are a few projects, as I said, which are coming closer and closer to the final conclusion. We'll see the results in next couple of quarters. And idea is to very, very aggressively deploy these 900 crores. That's the key result area for the entire organization and all of us.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritwik Seth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
So my question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mehta from AP Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, Aditya, you can go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. So, my first question is on the revenue front. On the console basis, I can see the income.
Can you speak a little louder, please? Not able to hear you properly.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mehta. We're not able to hear you.
Is this better?
Yes,
yeah.
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. So on the revenue front, on console basis, I can see the income has drastically decreased and so is the PAT. Could you please throw some light on the reasons behind the same?
Can you repeat the last bit once again, please?
On the revenue front, on consolidated statements,
yeah,
I can see the income has drastically decreased and so is the PAT. Could you please, throw some light on the reasons behind this dip?
Yeah. So this year, we are referring quarter four versus quarter one of current year, correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So if you look at YOY, of course, the revenue has grown significantly from 27 crores to 60 crores. Now, in quarter four of last year, which is March ending quarter, we had received a completion certificate for two of the projects, and hence we see a sudden increased revenue recognition in that quarter on a standalone basis.
Aditya, this problem on a quarter-on-quarter basis we generally face because of the way the accounting standard now works. A lot of revenue gets recognized when you complete a new project. Smart Spaces is a company which is not having a very, very wide sort of set of projects at this point, and hence there are a few peaks and troughs coming in the books of account. That is why we generally would focus a little more about the operations level in terms of what is the fresh booking, what are the additions to the pipeline, what are the kind of collections happening, how much is the sustenance sale, how many projects we could launch, etc., etc. That gives a little better indication. and these peaks and troughs keep coming, and that's what Ankit was explaining you, that last quarter, Q4 of 2022, we suddenly had two projects getting completed and a lot of revenues got recognized. So apart from these peaks and troughs, broadly, the business remains robust, and we are recording very, very decent growth in all the operational parameters as we conduct our business at this point.
Okay. Okay, sir. Yeah, I understand. Thank you so much for explaining it so well, sir. So, and my next question would be on the booking. So, the booking during the quarter remained subdued with modest 8% growth YOY, despite Q1 FY22 being affected by the quarter. So, I would like to know the reason behind the same. In parallel to that, are there any specific reasons for the dip in the bookings of forest?
So basically two questions. One is the general booking levels. So we are into a sustenance phase in this period. So we haven't really accounted for, or we've not really launched any new projects. They're all lined up. And Q2, Q3, we hope to expect a lot of action out there. We are very hopeful and you know, we're very hopeful that we will be able to achieve a very significant growth over the last year's numbers, which were 600 crores in total for the year as a whole in terms of new bookings. But of course, this quarter has been a quarter without any new launch, so this was a sustenance sale, so to say. The second question is about Forestay. Forestay, we've launched four phases, and in these four phases, we've launched significant component already. I think more than 80-85% is already sold, and the leftover inventory is now gradually getting liquidated. We are in the process of getting the final approvals and DERA approval. Actually, plan is already approved for the phase five of Forestay, which is going to be broadly the last phase of the project and a very large one. When that happens, this will mean that more inventory is made available for sales. So primary reason of the dip is not the market or not any other reason, but the inventory availability itself, which will improve dramatically once we get the last phase DERA approval. So this should improve.
Okay. Okay, sir. Understood. Understood. That's all from my side, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Oza from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, when exactly are we launching Devanahalli and the Sarjapur project? Like, by this quarter two end or in quarter three, can you please indicate?
So I think we just answered this question in the previous response. The idea is that we launch Devanahalli first, and that should happen more like end of this quarter or very, very early next quarter. And subsequent to that, Sarjapur is behind Devanahalli in terms of launch, maybe month and a half, maximum 2 months. So within end of this quarter, early quarter, one project, and then by the middle of next quarter, maybe Sarjapur.
Okay. And once it is launched, would it be, you know, fair to say that we would see a very good bookings, maybe above our normal run rate, which used to be 150-160 crores? Maybe more than that.
Sorry, if you could repeat the question, please.
So, sir, once it is launched, I'm assuming that our bookings currently with, okay, once the projects are launched, both projects, okay, would it be fair to say that our bookings would cross 150 crores up?
So, just one second. Just give me a second. So naturally, when these big launches happen, and the project sizes are very, very decent, so obviously we expect this 100 crore, et cetera, that number to be exceeded by a very significant margin, because this will be a new launch sales. The current sale of 118 crore is broadly the sustainable sale. Of course, these should be over and above these kind of numbers, the new launch sales.
Okay. And sir, if you could give any broad revenue execution and EBITDA margin guidance for this year?
We don't give guidance on the margins, etc. but I think we have shared quite a few details in our investor presentation. There are quite a few data points out there which should help you in understanding the overall product mix and the segment mix, etc. If you need any more clarification specifically on any of the data points, you can always get in touch with us and we'll try to help you to the extent possible.
Okay, sir. No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Chetan Yesha from Silver Line Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, good evening, sir. My question is on Avishkar project. Your presentation mentions that there is still around 2 lakh square feet of inventory to be sold, and you know, this is a part of a completed project. So just want to understand, why is there a significant amount of unsold inventory still left? I mean, are we facing some problems in selling this project?
Yeah, Chetan, thanks for your question. Great question. Avishkar is one of our projects which is that ultra low-cost segment. The product there is a price somewhere around 25 to 30 lakhs. So the lowest price point that you hit anywhere in our project portfolio till date. The project is a beautiful one, and it caters to the segment of society which possibly needs the housing the most. While the sales velocity has not been as great as what we would have liked it to be, or what we've been achieving practically in every other project, but at the same time, despite challenges, this project was sold almost like two-thirds by the time the buildings came up and the project got completed from the finality point of view. We just started handing over, and we are very hopeful that the velocity should improve from here onwards, because the project is now something where people can start coming in and living there. The other reason or plausible explanation to this could be that, you know, COVID affected the lower strata the most. Even the interest rates affected the lower strata the most. And this is one of our rare projects which happened to be in that segment of ultra low cost. The rest of our entire pipeline of whatever projects we are doing in any of our cities are either mid-price or upper mid-price. So they start something like a 50, 60 lakh rupees, 70 lakh rupees onwards, 2 BHKs and 3 BHKs, which are more like a crore of rupee. And then we have a luxury portfolio which starts from something like a 2 crores to a 10, 15 crores. This was the only exception. So there have been challenges. COVID has affected this segment a little more, but fortunately for us, we've recovered mostly our cost, etc. We sold two-thirds of it, and the velocity should increase. But having said, this is not our core sector, and we are really focusing on mid-price affordable housing rather than ultra-low-cost affordable housing. That's where we are today.
Okay, and also, I was expecting more of you know, the revenues to be, the booking values to be recognized for Oasis and Avishkar. But only a small portion has been recognized even this quarter. So just want to understand why was that.
So Ankit will give this explanation of accounting. Ankit, if you can explain this.
Yeah, sure. So both for Oasis and Avishkar, there are certain payments plan which are linked to handover of the units. So we are expecting those collection as soon as we hand over these units in the coming months to come. And because the BU was received recently, the project final finishing stages are almost near to completion. We have already started the process of handover for these units. So as soon as the handover is done, then we expect these units to get cleared. And secondly, from a bank's funding perspective, the bank disburses the last leg only when the final handover or the possession letter is given to the customer.
So in a nutshell, Chetan, if I were to rephrase or restate what Ankit said, you know, the final recognition happens with the receipt of final 5% at the time of handover. And when the project gets ready, normally people take a little longer to react and take possession, because they have to cuff up two things. One is this 5%, the other is 6% of stamp duty, which is a little bit of a strain. So it takes little time before customers start taking aggressively the possessions, and hence there is always a lag that we've seen, that the time when the handovers really pick up and the time that the view has come. There's always a lag between the two, and this is possibly the lag. We should plug this gap very quickly, and of course we are putting quite a bit of effort for people to come forward and get the sales deed done, registrations done. The moment that happens and we receive the final payments, recognition happens. But of course this is a little slow, basically handing over the apartments to the clients, and this should pick up.
Understood. The latest addition, the Bablu Gandhinagar project that you mentioned, do you expect to launch this in this financial year itself, or will it spill over to the next financial year?
No. This financial year for sure. I mean, next quarter it should be all done. Yes.
No, I'm talking about launching the.
Yeah. Launching, of course. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. That was helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamal Singhal for his closing comments.
Sure. On behalf of all of us, I thank you very much, everybody, for participating in this earnings call of Arvind Smart Spaces, for your continued support and attendance. I hope we have been able to address most of your queries. However, if we have missed out on any of your questions, kindly reach out to our investor relations team, and they will connect with you offline. Speaking of investor relations, Vikram Rajput, who is there in our call at this point, has joined us as head of investor relations. He brings with him an extensive knowledge of public equity markets and proven experience as an investor relations officer in the real estate industry. We look forward to working closely with him and further enhance our engagement with the investors and financial community. We wish him very best in his role. Look forward, and thank you very much once again for your participation. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Arvind Smart Spaces Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.